Good morning, church family. Today is Palm Sunday. We're excited to gather for worship together. In fact, today is the fourth Sunday in a row that we've been online exclusively for worship. And I want you to know that I'm so encouraged by what I'm seeing from our church body and just how so many of you are reaching out to help your neighbor, help people in need, the prayer support, just the online encouragement, just all the things that are happening, and just we're excited about how God is using the church to make an impact, even in such a critical time in our nation's history, to watch the church just really being the light in our community. I want to give a big shout out to Andy and Shannon Laszlo and their daughter Jaden and Asher, and congratulating them on the birth of their brand new daughter, their third child, Emmalyn Laszlo, born on April 1st. And they have an April 1st baby weighing in at 8 pounds, 17¾ ounces. And mom and baby are fine, they're home. And so congratulations to them. And we're excited to welcome her to our Calvary family. And I told Andy on the phone the other night, I said, I guess we'll see you sometime this summer or whenever this thing does actually pass. But we're excited for their family and the new addition that God has blessed them with. Also want to say, give a little update on my mom. Many of you know that this past Tuesday morning, my mom fell and fractured her back and fractured a rib. And she was initially told that she would not be able to have surgery due to a lack of space and I guess supplies at the hospital because of the COVID-19 crisis. And so we were worried about her her safety and her ability to get past this. And many of you prayed, and we just saw God open doors when the doctors had said the day before that she would not have surgery. And then on Friday morning, she got the green light. And it was just a huge answer to prayer, and literally people all over the world praying for her. And what a joy it is to know that she's had her surgery on Friday. She's recovering and is doing much better, and we rejoice in that. And so just want to say thanks for that. I want to also thank all those that donated food for our food drive last week. We were able to collect food supplies and take it to the Food Bank of North Carolina and help meet an immediate need for those in our city who are in time of crisis. And we'll be saying more about other opportunities to help with things like that in the days ahead. I'm encouraged by many of our small groups, just seeing them meet online and continue to communicate and encourage one another, pray together, study the Word together. And excited to see our student ministry continuing to reach people with the gospel and have a great time. And you know, I want to pray for you. And we're going to open up with prayer this Palm Sunday morning. And as we begin our service, and just give thanks to God. He's been so faithful, even in all of the crazy that's happened over the last month. We have seen the hand of God at work. And let me encourage you this morning, no matter where you're at and what you're facing personally today, God loves you. He has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. Sometimes the best thing we can do is turn off the TV, turn off the news, quit looking at your phone, and really look at this time as a gift from God, as an opportunity for us to draw closer to Him. For us to draw closer to our families and the people that we love, to check on the neighbor that's around the corner, check on the person beside you and make sure they're okay. Call those in the medical profession, text them, let them know that you're praying for them, that you love them, that you want to encourage them, you're thankful for their service. And let's just encourage one another during this time and knowing that God has a purpose. And I believe it's an awesome opportunity for our church to be a huge light in our city and around the world. So let's begin with a word of prayer this morning, and then we're going to dive into our text this morning. Heavenly Father, what a joy to know that you hear and answer our prayer. And God, we know that there's nothing that happens to us that catches you by surprise or is an emergency for you or catches you off guard. And Lord, as surprising as the events of the last month have been to so many of us, God, we know that you are very much in control today. And Lord, as we celebrate Palm Sunday this morning. And Lord, as we begin this Holy Week and talk about the sacrifice that you gave of sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and to be the payment for our sin. Lord, we are so thankful for what you've accomplished, the finished work on Calvary, and Lord, the relationship that today is available for each one of us because of what you accomplished already 2,000 years ago. Lord, this morning, I pray that you would speak to hearts of everyone that's tuning in this morning, God, and give them, Lord, peace, knowing that when all of the things of this world are completely falling apart, Lord, that you are on your throne and you're sovereign, you're holy, you're just, you are gracious, you're a loving God. And Lord, you care about the infinite details of our lives, God. And Lord, I'm thankful for the answered prayer this week. And Lord, so many that have been lifted up before your throne and we've seen you intervene and perform miracles in their lives. God, we give you the glory for that. Thank you for the opportunity to shine as a light in our city and allow the lost of this city to see that God loves you and God loves them and has a purpose for their life. And God, just continue to encourage us this morning. Lord, it's a privilege that we have as a church to be a part of the body of Christ, and you left us here with that purpose to share the good news of the Savior. And Lord, this week, as we reflect on your sacrifice that you made for us, God, may we never forget. Lord, may we not take it for granted. And God, may you do something supernatural in our midst this week. Use us as a beacon of hope and light in our community. And God, we'll be careful to praise you for what you're going to accomplish. We pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Palm Sunday. It marks the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. And in Luke chapter 19, it gives the story of Jesus sending two of his disciples to get a donkey that he would ride into the city of Jerusalem. Being in Israel a few months ago, I wondered, you know, as we were traveling some of those city streets, and I was like, I wonder if this was the road that Christ entered in, if this was the gate to the city that Christ would have entered in on that donkey here on Palm Sunday. And I think about, you know, the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy in Zechariah 9, where he says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey." Jesus' disciples began to cry, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Palm Sunday was a mixed bag, so to speak. It was a time of celebrating the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. But it would also usher in the week that Jesus would ultimately suffer and lay down his life on the cross of Calvary for your sin and for mine. In our service this morning, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper, and it's a time of remembrance. Hopefully you've already gotten the elements together this morning so you can participate there at home at your house. But it's a time of remembering back to our text here in Luke chapter 22, where Jesus gathered his disciples together in the upper room. And I can't imagine the somber mood that was in that room at that moment, as Christ assembled these men that had walked with him, they had talked with him, they had slept, they had rested, they had traveled, they had eaten together, they had seen him perform miracles, and they had done all of these things. And here they were gathering together for the very last time. They didn't fully understand what was about to take place. In fact, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He was outlining the things that were still yet to come. Now, our text here in Luke chapter 22, we get a glimpse inside that upper room. So just imagine that you're sitting there as one of those 12 disciples, one of those followers of Jesus that has watched him for over 3 years perform miracles and heal the sick and raise the dead. And here Christ is speaking. It says in Luke chapter 22, beginning of verse 14, "When the hour had come, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I would not eat it until it was fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is. They began to question one another, which of them it could be who was going to do this. Before we partake of communion this morning, of the Lord's Supper, I think the Apostle Paul reminds us, the importance of being prepared before we observe the Lord's Supper. It's one of the two ordinances of the church. It's unlike anything else we've ever seen. In fact, some pastors and churches have struggled with whether to have communion. And really, though, I believe, I mean, it's an act of worship as we gather for the church. And we can't corporately gather today, but what we're going to do is we're going to reflect and remember that death. I mentioned last week that Christ never told us to remember his birth, but he did instruct us to remember his death, his burial, and resurrection, and the sacrifice that he made. And so before we begin today, I want us to take a moment, a time of silent prayer, and just reflect. So right there where you're seated at your home, maybe in your car, wherever you're at, just pause and reflect and give thanks to God, but pray and ask for forgiveness of sin and come clean before God before we observe the Lord's Supper this morning. So let's bow our heads in prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege we have to come together and remember the sacrifice that you made on the cross of Calvary. Lord, your word tells us that where two or three are gathered together, that you're in the midst. Lord, I pray that this morning you would meet with us. Lord, it's unparalleled times, and yet we know that you haven't forsaken us or forgotten us. God, you're a God who's touched with every feeling of our infirmities. And your word says, yet you lived your life without sin. And God, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for your sacrifice. God, this morning, would you cleanse our hearts? Lord, as the psalmist cried out in Psalm 51, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. God, would you search our hearts this morning and cleanse us of any unforgiven sin, unconfessed sin? And God, would you give us a right spirit before you as we come together and remember your sacrifice? God, we'll give you the glory for what you're going to accomplish. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning is a reminder of how raw and how real things were that evening as they gathered in the upper room. Jesus told them in verse 15, he wanted to observe the Passover feast with them before he would suffer the death on the cross. And think about the significance of this. This would be the last time that all of them would be together before the crucifixion. In fact, in verse 19, he says, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying that this cup is that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. He's telling them, he says, this body that's about to be broken for you on the cross of Calvary. He says, I'm doing this for the forgiveness of your sin. In other words, he says, I'm willing to go and endure the death on the cross so that you and I can be forgiven. What a glorious picture this morning of the sacrifice that Jesus would make. they knew that this would one day happen, but now they're experiencing it firsthand. It's just hours away. And so Jesus identified the bread as that symbol of his body that would be broken, his body that would be broken on the cross of Calvary, on behalf of you and me, behalf of each one of us. His command to do in remembrance of me is a perpetual command. In fact, today, over 2,000 years later, we still observe the command to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This morning, we were supposed to have had baptisms. We had people lined up for baptism, and obviously, as you can tell, that's not happening today. But, you know, the Lord's Supper is, in the same way, remembers that sacrifice that Jesus made. And so then things got very real. In verse 21, he says, "But behold, the man, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it is, has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Jesus was letting Judas know that he knew he would betray him. Here, at the very moment when Jesus was telling his disciples about their having this intimate time with him before he would be crucified, they find out that one of them would be the very person who would betray Christ. They were sitting at the very table. You can imagine the shock, the awe of sitting there going, "Who is it me?" They began to question each other who it was that would betray Christ. And no one suspected Judas. His pious, loyal, outward demeanor did not match the corruption that was found in his heart that morning, that evening. This morning, as we observe the Lord's Supper, before we pray, let's take a moment and reflect back on the Last Supper as Jesus was about to lay down his life on the cross to pay for our sin. In fact, Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness or remission of sin." Let's pause right now and thank the Lord for his body that was broken for our sin and his blood that was poured out and shed for the forgiveness of our sin. Let's pray and thank the Lord for his sacrifice right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much that you would lay down your life and you would die on an old rugged cross for us. Thank you for your body that was broken, for your blood that was poured out for the redemption of our sin. Lord, as we pause to reflect and remember that time and that sacrifice, God, encourage us this morning. We need your Holy Spirit to fill us, to work in our hearts and in our midst, God. And Lord, we need to feel your presence this morning. Lord, thank you for taking our place, being our substitute, our Redeemer, the one who would ultimately lay down your life on the cross. Thank you for your sacrifice. We give you the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. While each of you observe the Lord's Supper at your own home, I'm going to play a song on the piano. And I want us to think about the faithfulness of God and how he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. He became sin for us. His body represents this bread represents the body that was broken for us. The juice represents the blood that was shed for us. Let's do this in remembrance of what Christ did for us. Shall we observe it together? Thank you. Let's pick back up in verse 39 of our text of Luke chapter 22. It says, we see Jesus as he prayed in the garden. It says he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And we withdrew from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and the sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. So I was in Israel just a few months ago. I had a chance to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and we had some time to pray there, and we had time to just kind of reflect. And my heart and my mind went back to this very hour, to this very moment, when Christ was there at the Mount of Olives. As he was there, the olive trees were all around, and you'll see on the screen an olive tree. Some of these trees dated back to the very time of Christ. I stood there amongst those, and I was like, could this have been the very place where our Savior wrestled with God over his plan for redemption? Could this be the very place that he cried out, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me? But nevertheless, he says he's willing to do the will of the Father. Is this a place that the disciples, those who were there, that were supposed to be there for support and encouragement for prayer, we're supposed to be praying with our Savior, is this the place that they fell asleep? That they fell down on the job? And this passage shows the human side of our Lord and Savior, and he understood full well the pain, the suffering that was to come. He wrestled with the plan of God, and that included his suffering and death. He says, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. If you've studied this passage before, you know that ultimately he knew the Father's plan. It didn't remove the pain and the suffering. It did not remove the fact that the Father would ultimately turn his back on him. But verse 42 says, Jesus responded, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. A short time later, he would travel on to Golgotha's Hill or Calvary's Hill. And as I stood there and looked at where they believed that Christ died on the cross, I thought to myself, the pain, the suffering, the agony, all of the things that were going through his mind. How often in this life do you and I just give up and quit on the Lord when things become difficult? When the tough times in life come, and they definitely will, oftentimes we want to throw in the towel and we want to quit. We want to give up. Maybe some of you are in that very moment right now, and maybe you've grown weary. You're watching the news and the anxiety level is rising. You're wondering, how are we going to make our bills during the month of April? What if I get sick? What if I have to go to the hospital? Some of those things were flooding through my mind on Tuesday morning as I sat in the parking lot of the hospital and knew that my mom was inside and none of us could go in. My thought was, will I see her again alive? Will she catch this virus? Will she catch this disease? And will she die alone? And I'll be honest, some of those fears were overcoming me. And it was amazing as the Word of God ministered to me in that very moment, and a peace just came over my heart and my life, and God just told me, trust in me. When you are afraid, you can trust in me. And those very moments of doubt, moments of fear and desperation, we can cry out to God, and he will hear our prayer. And maybe some of you are in there in that very moment. Jesus said, nevertheless, he says, not my will, but yours be done. He was faithful. He has never left us. He has never forsaken us. And when we're faced with difficult choices and decisions, we should reflect on the will of the Heavenly Father. not my will, but yours be done. God, I want to be obedient to you. I want your plan to be accomplished in my life. And Paul said, whether by life or by death, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He saw that day of whenever Christ would finally take him home as a victory. And folks, if you know Christ as your Savior, when this life on this earth does end, it is a victory. In fact, over this past week, there's been several times I've thought, Lord, this would be a great time for you just to return, just to take us on home to heaven and get us away from all of this crazy world. But folks, you know what? Right now, God wants us here and he has a purpose for our life, and it's to glorify him. So what's the application, Pastor David? Over these last few weeks, as much as we have seen our city in chaos and confusion, our nation in a state of emergency, and the world on lockdown, I'm thankful for a God who loves us, a God who is faithful, who is always right there during our time of greatest need. In fact, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life." This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you see, baptism will not save you. Taking the Lord's Supper, observing the elements, the ordinances of the church will not save you. In fact, coming to church will not save you. Having your name on a church roll or being confirmed or christened or baptized, none of those things will save you. It's what we've done with Jesus Christ determines where we'll spend all of eternity. So I wonder today, do you know Jesus Christ? He says, God so loved the world that he gave freely his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You and I can live for all of eternity in a place called heaven if we know Christ as our Savior, if we receive him into our heart and life. As we reflect on the Holy Week and the suffering of our Lord and Savior, the suffering he endured, the beatings, the crown of thorns, the cross that he was nailed to, realize this morning he bore all of our sins on the cross. He died for you and for me. Isaiah tells us he was bruised for our transgressions. He took the chastisement of our sin upon his body on the tree. As you remember the sacrifice that he made, don't just remember it. Celebrate this week what Jesus Christ has done for us. Take time to share the good news of the gospel with someone this week. When you talk to someone who is fearful, who is anxious this week, share how Jesus Christ has given you peace in this time of storm. Share, allow the light of Jesus to shine through you and point others to a risen Savior. Invite people to tune in next Sunday. Create a watch party next Sunday morning. Send out links to it to your friends and family. Let's flood the internet with the gospel of Jesus Christ this week. Encourage people to pray and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning as we finish our time of worship. Heavenly Father, thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, thank you for being willing to endure the suffering and the pain and death on the cross. But Lord, I am so thankful, Lord, that's not the end of the story. In fact, if you stay dead in the grave, our salvation would be in vain. All of our faith would be in vain. But Lord, we know that your word gives us clarity of how it all turns out in the end. And Lord, we know that ultimately you died on the cross so that each one of us could be forgiven and receive eternal life. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts this morning, those who may not have ever cried out and placed their faith and trust in you for salvation. Lord, that this morning would be that moment, that very hour where they place their faith and trust in you and receive forgiveness and invite you into their heart and their life. God, this morning, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you ultimately for rising from the grave. God, continue to strengthen us, encourage us. May we be a light and shining testimony, a beacon of hope to a world that's in darkness this morning. And God, may this week be a powerful time of being able to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. We'll be careful to praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church family, we love you. If we can encourage you in any way, if we can pray for you, please contact us. Let us know your prayer requests. Put them in the comments below. We'd love to pray for you this week and encourage you. Make plans to join us for Easter Sunday. I've heard a lot of people, stats, different commentary and stuff this last couple of weeks that, you know, all the Easter services are canceled for this coming Sunday. Can I say that's not true? In fact, that couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, I believe that more people will hear the gospel this coming weekend on Easter Sunday than maybe at any other time in human history. And I'm excited as your pastor to encourage you. Invite friends. And you know, we have all those cards, tons and tons of cards that really weren't even able to be passed out this year. Signs that were going to go in people's yards and all around town. And they're not really able to even be used right now. But you know what? The greatest thing you can do is invite someone to tune in and hear that Jesus Christ loves them. And folks, what a time of sharing hope and life in a time when the world is desperate. And I'm excited about the opportunities before us this week. I'm praying for you. I want to encourage you. We love you. And looking forward to gathering together for worship this coming Sunday on Easter Sunday. Thank you.
Grace, draw near and bless your name.